Today, as we know, is the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. We can never hear the meaning of Mary's divine maternity too often, nor can we penetrate too deeply into its profound implications for ourselves individually, for the church, and for humanity. As we know, this feast was instituted for the 1st of January by the late Pope Paul VI. It is a holy day of obligation. I would like to choose three among the reasons that Pope Paul VI gave for instituting this feast, and specifically at the beginning of the new year. The Holy Father said, this feast is being instituted because the Blessed Virgin Mary is the one through whom we have received on earth in visible form the author of life. The correlation, the new year, and Mary giving us in visible form the author, the beginner, the origin of human life. Secondly, this feast was instituted because the Blessed Virgin is to be our model and pattern for the adoration of God as man. God is to be adored for the obvious reason that he is God. But what needs emphasis and reiteration is that because of Mary, God became man, and her child is to be adored as our God. And thirdly, said the Vicar of Christ, this feast was instituted in order to present us the Blessed Virgin Mary as both the model and the cause of our joy. We like to think, whenever we think in comparing the past and the future spontaneously, well, there have been problems, there have been trials. The past, I look back over and am grateful that I made it. How about the future? Looking forward with joy. And whatever else the beginning of a new year should give us is the inspiration of joy. These three prerogatives of Our Lady, as the one who has given us the author of life in human form, as the one who is our pattern and teacher, we may say, for the adoration of Christ as our God, and as the model and especially as the cause of our joy, are uniquely appropriate, these Marian prerogatives, for prayerful reflection at the beginning of a new year. And as we look forward to, please God, greater happiness, greater peace, greater satisfaction in doing God's will. In a word, a new year that will be new as the beginning of a new era in our lives. And whatever else we should reflect on as we complete the retreat, by the way, the retreat finishes only with this Mass, in case nobody told you. Please God, it will be a new era, dare I say, in your own personal lives, in the life of your community, and through you, in the lives of many souls whose lives you touch. First then, Mary gave us the author of life, the child that Mary gave birth to at Bethlehem. He is our God. But immediately we must distinguish, and we better as Catholics keep making this distinction between Christ, who is our God, being the author of our natural life, the life of our body, whose principle of life is the soul, and as the author of our supernatural life, as the author of the soul of the soul, of that supernatural life, which, how we pray and how we hope, we will be alive not only naturally in soul when our body dies, the soul lives on, but dear God, that our soul will be alive with that supernatural life which Mary, as the Mother of God, gave us the source of that supernatural life, which unless we have when our body dies, we will not reach the destiny for which we were made. The child that Mary gave birth to is first of all the creator of the souls of each one of us. I've touched on this before, I repeat it again. There are some wild, eerie, I use them demonic theories in circulation today, claiming the whole universe is in one cosmic process of evolution, that what we call the soul is only the natural evolution of the body. Don't believe it. And there you see it in human print. Say to yourself, those ideas were spawned in hell. I know what I'm saying. 30 years of struggling with these demonic theories has been part of the cross that God has put into my theological life. No. Jesus Christ, who is our God, is the God who individually, personally, separately, distinctively created the souls of each one of us at the moment that our bodies were conceived in our mother's womb. What are some implications, therefore? That the child, Mary conceived at Nazareth and gave birth to in Bethlehem, is the God who is the creator of the souls of each one of us. And I repeat, individually, personally, and as we go through life, we find to our embarrassment, distinctively, no two of us are alike. It's not only that our bodies look different, they do. It's that our souls are different, distinct, reflecting, as we believe, the infinite variety of the divine attributes of the God from whom each one of our souls, individually, I repeat, personally, came. At the moment of conception, our souls were created. Believe that. The obverse of that is madness. Another implication. Mary, as the Mother of God, has given us our God, who is visible and during his stay on earth in Palestine was audible, and he will be visible and will be audible to those bodily senses by which we are here on earth so constantly prone to judge reality. Now we know the deepest reality is not material, cannot be touched or felt or seen with the eyes or heard with the ears. But God made sure he would have a mother who would give us our God as one of us. But the same Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is not only the creator of our souls, he is also the creator of our supernatural life. This life, we believe, was lost by our first parents when they sinned. This life, we further believe, was restored by Jesus Christ. And it was Mary who gave us Jesus Christ. Except for him, we could not look forward to heaven. Thanks, Mary. Thanks. Some implications. New Year's Day is an annual prelude to the beatific vision. As we look forward to the heaven for which we were made. That is why there are, except for a leap year, 365 dawns every year. And every year today, the dawn of what we call a new calendar year. This is not mere symbolism. Oh, no. This is God's daily, with each dawn, annually, with each new year, the reminder. There is more coming. This life that we now possess is not, thank God, the only life we're going to live. Thank God. Every new year is intended by God to be an annual reminder that everything in the world is everything in this world will pass away. Everything we now have will be left behind. Everything will be taken away. And if there's one day in the year that we need to remind, what other verb shall I use? We believe, re-faith ourselves with, it is that there is a new life awaiting us. Not just another day with each dawn. Not just another year with each New Year's Day. But a new existence. That everything we possess in this world, in God's own time, will become, well, the past day, the past year. He will talk, please God, when we reach that heavenly home. Remember, way back, let's see, I think it was 1989 AD. Oh, how heavy the trials seemed then. How I asked myself, how will I ever make it? We call ourselves by our first names. Martha, do you remember? Do I ever? Beatrice, remember? I thought I'd never make it. There's not just a new year coming. There is a new existence coming. That's our faith. Isn't that great? And we should thank Our Lady for giving us her Son, who gives substance to our hope of eternal life. Once more, thanks, Mary. Our second area of reflection. Mary, the model of adoration of Jesus. Remember, Christ our Lord told us that we are to love the Lord our God with our whole hearts, with our whole soul, with our whole heart, and he added, and with our whole mind. The highest form of adoration is love. We commonly and correctly, but inadequately, identify the adoration of God with the recognition of his sovereignty over us, of our complete dependence upon him, of our subjection to his laws. That surely is adoration. He is our God, we are his creatures. But that's only, pardon me, the bottom half of adoration. What's the top half? God is not only the cause of our existence, whom therefore we should adore as our Master and Lord, on whom we totally depend and whom we better obey. But God is also, as we say in theology, not just our first cause from whom we came. God is our final cause for whom we were made. We came from God. That's the adoration of submission. But we were made for God. Oh, my friends, that is the adoration of love. Love seeks union. Love seeks to be united with the one it loves. This is what I've called the top half of adoration. The adoration of loving the God from whom we indeed came and whom we better obey. But the God who wants us to love him and to spend our lives striving to draw closer and closer to him. And we know this drawing closer to God is no matter of physical locomotion. We take 3 steps or we walk 3 miles toward God. No. It is drawing closer with our wills, that our wills become more and more conformed to that divine will for whom we were made. Mary, give us this God who was conceived by her and born of her, that we might adore our God both as our Creator and therefore the first cause, and as our destiny, our final cause. She is the model of our adoration of Jesus, who is both her God and ours. So how is Mary the model of our adoration of Jesus as God? By the adoration of submission, locked up in one word, handmaid. No one has improved, nobody can improve on the most important single word after the word Deus in God, which is the Latin name for God. The most important single word, I think, in the Latin language is Mary's fiat. Be it done to me. Total. No word we can use in our human vocabulary can express what Mary meant when at the incarnation she told the angel, fiat, let it be done me to me. How much we have to learn, no matter what our chronological age, we all still need, beginning with the speaker, growing up and learning from Our Lady what it means to adore Jesus, our God, by the continuing, and we have to add, and growing, increasing submission of our will to the will of her Son, our God. But Mary is also the model of the adoration of Jesus. Her adoration now is not, which it also is, submission of our will to the will of the Almighty. She was our pattern for the adoration of the love of Jesus, who is our God. A perfect theological definition of a human being is a rational creature who constantly desires. A human being is a rational creature who constantly desires. We are, by the deepest meaning of the words we use, we are incomplete beings. We know that from experience. We are never fully satisfied. Sit down to a good meal after we've been hungry. Well, we relax. A few hours later, we're hungry again. At the end of a hard day, we're tired. Shall I say we fall into bed, get a good night's sleep, rise refreshed in the morning. Would you believe it? in less than 24 hours, we're back in bed again. It was not because Augustine said it, but because it is the deepest truth of our lives that our hearts can be satisfied by nothing, by no one. And merely multiplying creatures will not really add to the satisfaction. Our hearts, our faith tells us, we're made for God, and nothing, no one can satisfy them except our God. Our hearts were made for thee, in Augustine's famous words, and they will not rest until they rest in thee. Mary, then, is our model for the adoration of Jesus as our God, in whom, notice, once the incarnation took place in Mary's womb, and as we believe for the rest of eternity, that's not good theology, but it sounds good, as though there will be an end to eternity. Through all eternity, the child who took flesh in Mary's womb will be the God-man. And the one for whom our hearts were made, and without whom they will never be at peace, and in whom alone they will find rest, is the Son of Mary, our God, who became man. Finally, Mary, as the cause of our joy. At Bethlehem, the angel told the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you new tidings of great joy." I would like to isolate and emphasize the two words, new and joy. And of course, taking the new year as the context for relating these two truths of our faith. Something so new occurred on Christmas Day that it never occurred before and will never, needless to say, have to happen again. God became a human child thanks to his mother. That's what, by the way, the word gospel means. The old Anglo-Saxon loses the full meaning. It is good news. Good tidings. Well, the angel said it was new. God had never done this before. What a safe statement. He became man. That's news. But then the angel added, this new revelation is meant to be the source not of joy, but of great joy. The joy of Bethlehem is the joy of promise already on earth. We are to be already happy here on earth, but reaching its fulfillment in eternity. New Year's Day should be seen as a day of hope for the future. What's the foundation of that hope? Jesus Christ, whom except for Mary, we would not have. New Year's Day, therefore, should be a day of hope not only for the coming year, but, let's use the expression, for the coming eternity. We say that the old year ended. This is to remind us, and it better remind us, on the one hand, and I'm speaking of the close of a retreat, there was such a thing as our old life coming to an end. And we don't have to rehearse or depress ourselves with all the stupid things we've done. I don't mean just during 1989. That was plenty. But all the way back as far as either we can remember, or as God knows better, from the dawn of discretion, which for many of us was the dawn of sin. The words old and new have profound meaning, shall I use the expression, in the vocabulary of God. Each New Year's Day is meant to usher in the beginning of a new life of conformity to the will of God, of submission to His will, of seeking union in that deep love that only God can satisfy. God became man to make us happy. We shall be happy on Mary's terms. What are those terms? Listen. My soul, she sang, rejoices in God my Savior. Notice, she did not say, she dare not have said, my soul rejoices in myself. My soul rejoices in the wonderful things that I now possess. my soul rejoices in the creatures in my life. My soul does not rejoice in the world. My soul rejoices. How this should be etched into our minds. In God, my Savior. Those three words are not just a sequence of three terms. In God, my Savior, God became man, and as man, thanks to Mary, God became man in order to save the world. We ask Our Lady, dear Mother of God, we believe that when you conceived Jesus at Nazareth and gave him birth at Bethlehem, the child you gave us is our infinite Almighty God. Teach us, dear Mother, to understand Jesus somewhat as you did. You did not see him face to face as your God, no more than we do. You have to believe. Help us, dear Mother, to believe more deeply, more strongly, and never for a moment doubt that Jesus is indeed Almighty God. But, dear Mother, this God become man, whom you gave birth to, is not only the God in whom we believe. He is the God for whom we were made. Dear Mary, we ask you to discover what you knew, that there is no happiness anywhere on earth except in loving your Son. And there is no joy in eternity except in possessing him, your God in ours, for whom we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.